piercing your firewall and filling your ports with technology goodness. It's the 1352 Report.
Everyone, welcome to the first episode of the 1352 Report. My name is Bruce Elligort, and today we are here with three other members of the 1352 Report crew, and we'll start off by first introducing Jess Stratton. Jess, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Carl, just hold your horses, okay? Oh, Carl's breathing deep. So, Jess, why don't you take a couple seconds here to...
It's not me breathing deep. Mine was muted, for crying out loud.
That was mine.
Okay. Well, let's give Jess a couple minutes here to tell everyone in the world who the heck she is and what she does and what she likes and what she doesn't like.
All right. And it'll probably actually be pretty good for me to straighten it all out in my head, which I need to do every once in a while. Have a degree in communication studies. I do Lotus Notes developing and administration, mostly project-based consulting, and mostly here in Rhode Island, which is where I live. I also have a couple of alter egos in which I run a brick-and-mortar end-user training facility. Granted, it's really small, so I'm more of a technology coach, kind of like a personal trainer in which users can use an hour to learn whatever they want to about their computers. They just kind of come in whenever they feel they need a session. I am also on an advisory committee for a local nonprofit, which I'm going to tell you about, called SHO, which stands for Serving Communities, Helping Others, and Opportunities for All. They place volunteers with nonprofit opportunities. It's a really cool local organization. I help run their computer network also. And then finally, I'm trying my hand at pro blogging, so we'll see how that goes, with a project called momlets.com, which contains tech tips and life hacks for busy moms. So I'm going to see how that goes, because that's actually something that I can do while the kid naps, so we'll see what happens with that.
And when did you get started with Lotus Notes and other Lotus technologies, Jess?
Probably about 10 years ago. I've been doing it. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Sean Burgess, better known as Fig Said What. Sean, welcome to your podcast.
Oh, good evening, Bruce.
You're going to take a couple minutes here to tell everyone about yourself? Because we have people who don't know who you are. Sean.
Don't forget to unmute your microphone, Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Oh, yeah, that would be helpful.
There you go. You know, it's our first episode. It's going to be a little rough. So go ahead, Sean.
Oh, I don't really feel like I'm doing much after listening to what everything Jess does. So I am a domino designer, domino administrator, domino whatever, a guy, consultant in the D.C. and Baltimore area. Been doing notes and dominoes since 95. So what's that, 13 years? Oh, Lord. Doing a lot recently with my own company, ASND Designs, and focusing on the Lotus Foundations project and product that's come out of IBM's purchase of Nidix in January that was announced at Lotusphere. But I'm mostly on the Fortune 500 side for a long time, but I'm looking towards doing a lot of notes and domino stuff in the SMB market since Foundations has been released.
And what does that acronym stand for?
ASND.
Another short
notes developer. Is if you've ever stood around us at Lotusphere, aside from a couple people, it's amazing how short we all are.
I would just put three people or four people in that category, so be careful with the us word. So last but not least, we have Carl Tyler, who I've known for a long time. Actually, I've known Jess for a long time, Sean for a long time, and Carl. So Carl, you only get 30 seconds to tell everyone about yourself.
My name's Carl Tyler. I run a prenatal daycare center for women that like to make omelets. No, I don't do that at all. I've been using Notes and Domino since I've been using Notes since 1991. Prior to that, I had the pleasure of using Office Vision and Profs. I specialize in unified communications solutions, and my company Apelio works for a number of telcos, helping them integrate their products with Same Time, And we do general consulting and development around that platform, as well as Microsoft OCS. And you may have seen recently we gave out some free tools that some of our developers have used as learning tools to do a few things at the same time. And you can get those from our blog. My blog, and also our website. And if I was to have initials, I'd probably be an AFND versus an ASND.
I won't ask what that is.
Yeah. I'll leave it to your imagination.
We'll put that in the show notes, and we'll include photos of ourselves as well. No.
I never signed up for photos.
Carl, I have the contract right in front of me. So, you know, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Bruce Elgord. I do another podcast with a guy named Julian Robichaux. We've been doing it for almost 3 years now, and I think Carl was actually one of our first guests on the podcast way back when, where we talked about how to run a daycare. And I also helped start OpenNTF with Nathan Freeman way back in the day. And I also work with a company called El Guji Software that makes two products for Domino. So
that isn't a yoga position then?
No.
I was just going to ask that.
I was going to ask you that. And it's kind of funny because it's something that happens when I read all these things all the time online. And I never actually hear anybody say it. So I've always wondered how to pronounce that.
Right. We're actually going to have a contest in the future called What is Your El Guji? But we won't go there right now. So guys, you know, we work with a lot of stuff. You know, Sean mentioned foundations, Carl same time, myself, Notes and Domino, and Exchange and stuff like that. But I really want to start off talking about the recent release of Notes Domino 802. You know, everyone in the blogosphere, or the little yellow bubble, as I like to say, said, "Yay, I installed 802. It's great. It's faster." I installed it. I know Jess did and Sean did. And I really wanted to, you know, put it out there, find out, let's talk about 802 in general, what some of the things IBM changed in 802 or improved in 802 to make it, you know, a better product. So who wants to go first to talk about some of the new stuff in 802?
Well, I'll go since I have nothing else to say. I haven't seen a huge change in 802 myself, other than a couple of things that are really, really nice for me. I'd gotten used to skipping over the standard interface and going right to basic for the speed in 801. And that has the standard has gotten to the point where it's almost to where the 801 basic was. It's not as fast, but it is still – it's quite nice. And the big thing for me is the improvement in switching locations when you switch IDs. The time it takes and the issues that I had when doing that seem to have diminished greatly in 802.
Mm-hmm. You know, but before we move on, a couple things, right? They added on the Domino server, right? They added Domino Web Access for the iPhone, right? That's been the big one of the big new features in 802, guys, right?
Well, if you have an iPhone.
If you have an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I don't have an iPhone.
Well, not yet. What else? The speed, right? The perception of being faster and loading faster. Sean, Jess, your experience with that, Carl?
Well, I haven't yet installed it. I've got a few things that I'm working on that mean I can't install 802 just yet on my machine. But I was wondering whether whether the Symfony stuff's been updated in there, because the standalone Symfony was ahead of the Symfony that was embedded in Notes. So
yeah,
I'm wondering
if it has been to version 1.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, definitely. Symfony version 1.0 is now part of 802. Jess, what about you? You know, I think on Twitter you had a couple issues. You had to do some maneuvers in the dark, kind of like I did. Nothing major. Why don't you go first, Jess?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing major. I just had I had some problems installing it. Once I installed it, the splash screen came, chose my location, put in my password, the gray dialogue came up, and then boom, right back to the desktop with nothing. So talked to Bruce, did a quick uninstall and reinstall. Although I do have to say that one thing that did throw me for a loop was that I'm just so used to upgrading my workstations that I never really – I always just keep the same folder structure because I'm always upgrading. But this time, because I actually had to do an uninstall and a reinstall first, I noticed that they changed the folder structure. And Sean said that they had done it in 8. So they snuck an IBM in there somewhere. So I accidentally reinstalled it to C:\IBM/Lotus. You know, had a little heart attack when I started taking me through a new workstation setup, but – got it all fixed. Otherwise, it's great. You know, like he said, the switching from locations is quick, and I have lots of databases and tabs and things open all the time, and I'm constantly switching back and forth, and those are a little snappier than they used to be.
Mm-hmm. So I think I read somewhere that people were comparing speeds to the 6X, 7X versus 8, and are we in 8 at the speeds, you know, the performance levels that we are in 6 and 7, or is that still, is 8 still behind?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't see the speeds that I saw in 6. You know, it also may have something to do with the fact that I'm still using the same mail file that I was, you know, in 6, and it's just that much bigger and there's that much folder. So it could be me.
Although that could actually make it quicker for you, because it means you're not loading the Java views and things, unless you've update that mail file to the later template.
Yeah, I always update the mail file.
So you are actually using Java views and things. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to throw it out there and see what you guys feel about the move to Eclipse in general. You know, obviously, you know, they changed the game, right? There's a reason why they moved to the Eclipse framework, right? And do you guys really think that... do you still feel like it's the same old notes that you used to know, or do you feel like something they're putting this Eclipse framework in for something bigger and better, or trying to move us in a direction somewhere? You know what I mean? Who wants to take that one?
Well, they're definitely trying to move us somewhere. I personally find notes quite aggravating to use. Some of the menus are confusing, you know, especially if you switch between the advanced menus and basic menus. And then the whole file preferences just seems to be a place where if they couldn't figure out where else to put it, we'll just put it in preferences. It all just, you know, the whole focus on usability is like, I think in screenshots it looks fantastic, but when I come to use it, I find it really frustrating. Now, that may be because I still use the keyboard a lot versus using the mouse for navigating around and things. But I just find, you know, things that you got so used to, like clicking in the top left-hand corner for refresh, things like that now and again or whatever, that appears in some views and not in other views. Right mouse button options have some things in one view but not in another view. It's kind of like a Franken-notes. It's a mishmash of different things put together, and I think it's going to be like Notes 9 until they start to sort this stuff out, I think. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things were kind of rushed to get it out. And you know, the plug-in model's great. But the there's other products out there that are small, fast, and have plugin models. You know, Trillion has plugins, Spark Client has plugins, Yahoo IAM has plugins, and they didn't need to go to this huge Java Eclipse base to be able to offer that to other people. So I think, you know, it's great that we can do these things. I just wonder if the right platform was chosen for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Sean, what's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I see the positives that Eclipse can give, but it also seems to me that it's sort of like what Java was in the late 90s, in that a lot of it has a lot of promise. It's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm. What about composite apps? You know, I think I blogged about this. I'm giving a presentation at the Northeast Ohio Lotus User Group, and I really wanted to, you know, focus on some things in 8.0 and, you know, composite apps are one of the key things that we can now do as developers in 8X. And I think some of the responses, I didn't get any responses on the blog entry, but I was really looking for third-party products that are, you know, built with, you know, wiring and stuff like that. And I didn't get any, again, responses. So I'm just wondering, you know, is this going to be like an in-house development tool? You know, Will Notes apps continue to be developed by business partners kind of based on the old, you know, well, the older NSF constructs? Or, you know, where's the client going? That's what I'm really trying to figure out.
I mean, I've recently built some composite apps for a customer that, you know, sidebar panels for the Notes client where typically they're interrogating the email or they're giving them access to their internet portal without requiring a sign-on, things like that. And I think, you know, composite apps, I know that, you know, everybody's saying they're new. It's like they're not really new. You've been able to do these in Notes since version 5 at least. You know, actually, you could even argue you could do them in version 4 if you used the components. The thing that is different, obviously, is how you build them. And with the composite apps and the framework they have, you can do some wiring between them. But I think the thing I'm seeing most is people just building kind of like plug-in apps. The most concerning thing I see is a lot of people now are really just seeing Notes as their email client. And as soon as that happens, where Notes is just used for email, then it becomes awfully easy for those customers to switch Notes out. And I think IBM needs to really put a big effort into ISVs and building these composite applications for Notes. It's, you know, it's like the XPages thing I always say. If IBM wants that to work, they've got to have all these components available from third parties that just plug into XPages. You know, your calendar widget, your Gantt chart widget, whatever. They need to have all those things so that people start building these apps in Notes. Because the thing I hear more and more is that people are just seeing Notes as email and they want to build their apps for the web. They want to move away from this fat client to a thin client of a web browser.
Mm-hmm. And along those lines, too, the Domino server being primarily, you know, being labeled as a mail server nowadays, you know, unless...
I don't see that. I really don't see that, the same thing out of the context that I have at all. It's more of they see Domino as the applications only, and I don't get as much with the mail. When I'm looking at composite apps, I'm seeing it as something similar to dashboards or your portals, in that how do you really package that as a third-party product? Because all of your back-end stuff that you want to feed your composite apps are all back-end systems that are custom to each client.
Yeah, but you know, whether it's SAP or Oracle Financials or some SQL database, there's ways to do all this stuff, Sean. I mean, the way the portal products do it, right? They provide this framework, and there are people
that they provide the framework.
No, but there are third-party apps for WebSphere Portal, for all these applications. So I disagree with you. I think that there are.
So, but if people want a portal, why aren't they just using WebSphere Portal? You know,
it's really expensive.
Well, right. So then, what do they look at? They look at what, SharePoint? You know, that it's.
SharePoint's really expensive too.
Yeah. Jess, you got a take on this?
Get it for free.
I mean, if you've got Notes in house and you're using Notes every day, and you want to hook up to use your back-end your back-end ERP system, whatever, that's where the composite app's going to be. And yes, Bruce, I agree that it's going to be stuff like that for the SAPs, but it's going to have to be it's going to have to be similar to the things they're doing for Lotus Mashups and the stuff you can build for that.
Mm-hmm. Jess,
I think a lot of it in the small business is that it's really hard to find, you know, most for small businesses, most of these people rely on in-house developers. And I think it might take some time before people really start seeing the benefits of that until they can find somebody that knows how to do it for them and create things for them. Because right now they are, you know, most people that I work with, they heavily use Domino for databases. And you'd have to, you know, rip those databases from their grubby little fingers. They're so dependent on these databases. And a lot of them that they use, you know, they've just been using them for years, you know, since way early Notes, you know, versions of Lotus. And
are they investing in updating those databases to add more functionality?
Well, yeah, they go to all the current releases, but it's, you know, the design, it's just, it always takes a back burner. You know, if it's not broken, they still use it. It just, time and time again, I always see the most mission critical databases, they're just always the oldest and the ugliest. It never fails. But I'm saying they usually do have a back end system that they need to tie into. I'm just saying that it'll probably, kind of like what you said with Java in the early 90s, you know, it kind of took a while because the people that could build the apps, they weren't there yet, you know? Mm.
I guess we're going to have to find out, you know, and Carl said it, or Sean, I forgot who it was, that it's going to take a little while and a couple of releases in a couple of years to figure out whether the move to the Eclipse framework really pays off.
Well, I mean, think about how busy all of us seem to be right now. I mean, I know Jess is up their eyeballs and I'm up to my eyeballs and just doing things day to day, I haven't had a chance to look at composite apps, let alone, you know, build it for a customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we'll see. You know, there's a lack of examples and resources out there to show people how to do these things. I know there's a few things out there, but I think Lotus recognizes that they need to do more. You know, if they're going to push the platform.
I think they're starting to, yeah.
Yeah. And the same
way. Well, how long did it take for WebSphere to get up and running to the place where it is now?
That's a good question. That I don't know, but, you know, when did WebSphere?
Well, WebSphere originally was EIP, and that started off in about 1998,
1997. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so think about how long it's taken for them.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Well, I think we've beat the 802 thing to death for now. Just one thing that came across my radar, and I think Ed Brill tweeted about it, how the Silicon Alley Insider listed Lotus as one of the tech's forgotten brands. Did you guys see that? No? You didn't see it?
I saw that quick little blur. It wasn't much to it, but I mean, it's – yeah. I mean, because it's not its own company anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't want to derail us, but I don't know how it just flipped across my screen magically like that. I think I was in my Link Jam links, and I was trying to find something. But
was that a shameless plug?
No, not at all. Yes. No.
Well, but here's the other thing. If you want to mention too, 8.5 beta 2 should be out tonight. Supposedly.
Right. That's Ed blogged about that. But you know, to tell you the truth, it's I'm not ready for 8.5 from a development standpoint, but I'm sure a lot of people are. Right, 8.5 is going to bring what? What kind of stuff? X Pages. It's going to bring QuickTune. What else?
DAOS, which is a major thing.
Right.
New development client, right?
Right. The Eclipse based designer. Did you say Deos?
Deos.
I did. I said DAOS.
Uh huh. And getting back to 802, right? I think someone mentioned that they've updated Domino Access for Microsoft Outlook as well as an 802. And there's actually a document, and I'll throw it in the show notes, to a list of the top 20 SPRs I think that they fixed and addressed in 802. There were over 1,200 bugs they fixed, according to, I think, Lotus Support or something like that. But, you know, Carl, you used to work for Lotus, and I don't know if that's a lot of bugs or that's nothing, but...
Well, you can always alter bug numbers by just not publishing some, so...
Ah, yeah.
It's hard to say.
All right. So Lotusphere is coming up, right? We heard some rumblings that the sign-up sites and, you know, registration sites are going to be coming online soon. Was that Mary Beth and Ed, I think, who blogged about that?
Yeah, because I yelled at them because nobody had said anything. I'm like, it's last year was April... It was August 15th, registration opened. It's now August 28th, and we have nothing.
Uh-huh. Any pricing out yet? No?
I've seen nothing.
I've seen just speculation. That's it.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that registration is a little later this year. But in years gone past, you know, prior to last year, you know, when they did in August, right, it was in the September timeframe, right?
I think they should open source Lotusphere and make it free.
Yeah, I do too.
Pay for it with support services.
So
we haven't had a call for abstracts either.
No, but that'll come. That'll come. You'll get 2 weeks to write it. And like kidding. It was kind of short last year, I think. It was only
very short.
It was 3 weeks last year.
Wow. So, Carl, you plan on presenting this year?
Well, I don't plan on it. I mean, I'll submit some things. If they choose to use one, that'd be great. But never plan on it.
Sean, you?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
I'll submit a couple things, but, you know, last year I got snubbed, expectedly, but after seeing the stuff that came out, I knew why I got snubbed.
And Jess?
Yeah, I'll submit some abstracts. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
All right. So another thing that came up on Andy Pettish's blog this week was why companies – I think his title was something like, why don't frickin' companies update their Notes infrastructures as often as we, the OEM community and the ISV community, et cetera, want them to? And I was wondering, based on Carl, your experiences, Jess, and Sean, and we'll let Carl go first. You know, I did a poll on my blog a couple months ago, and, you know, a lot of people are still in the 6X realm and the 7X realm. And I was just wondering, you know, is it, you know, what's your take, guys? I'll let Jess go first.
Okay. Well, somebody on Andy's comments hit the nail on the head for what I see in primarily SMBs. They always have to go through their checks. You know, they have to make sure that everything's okay. They have, you know, a fax server that they run through. They have a backup server. They have antivirus. And they have third-party databases. And they have to get the green light from all those vendors before they can, you know, in good conscience and good faith that everything's going to go smoothly, upgrade. And that's what they always do, you know, wait for all those green lights. And, you know, there's a lot of third-party vendors and antivirus softwares that hold everything up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kevin Pettit actually blogged today and spoke of the lack of, I think it was some, was it Symantec? 64-bit support for their,
yeah,
for their
product.
Yeah,
good timing for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, good point. What about you, Carl?
I mean, the thing I actually commented in response to Andy's post. I mean, the things I see is a lot of people just, you know, they don't see what they have as broken. So, you know, they get their email, they can reply to their email, and it works, and their databases work. And, you know, they're kind of like, well, why should I put the effort and the resources into upgrading it? I mean, the thing we often forget is we work in IT, so obviously we're always doing this day to day. But for a lot of businesses, this isn't what they do. These are just tools that they use, and they don't get necessarily excited about putting the next big version on. To them, it's a case of what do they get of benefit if they do that? It's a bit like Office 2003. Very, you know, a lot of people haven't upgraded from that because Office 2003 does exactly what people wanted. And they're like, why should I learn a new tool and go through the pain of upgrading and seeing if my macros work, don't work, when I can just use this version quite happily?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people like that. You know, the other thing is you know, is people with a lot of remote users to upgrade the Notes client remotely, if they don't have tools like Tivoli or SMS to do it, it's something they have to manage and test on a number of machines and different locations and different WAN speeds to see how it performs at those different locations before they can push out upgrades to people.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I see is that I don't think they. Lotus Marketing, yeah, Ed, I'm talking about Lotus Marketing sucks. I don't think they really frame the concepts of what the Notes client and the improvements in, you know, the 8X, you know, may, well, I'm not going to say mail, but the whole, it's all framed from a techie standpoint. If you look at some of the literature and you look at the website, there's no story. There's no compelling story. And guys, jump in. I just feel that it's being marketed to the little yellow bubble people. Instead of, you know, the broader capabilities that the product can deliver for organizations. So anyone want to jump in there?
When I think of a good PR machine, I think of Microsoft's PR machine. I think they have the greatest PR machine in the world. Yet they have a ton of people that are still out there on Exchange 5.5 or Exchange 2003 or Exchange 2000. So if their marketing machine isn't getting it through to the end users – then what hope does the marketing machine from Lotus, which has always been an Achilles heel from most of our standpoint?
Yeah, but Sean, SharePoint is gaining ground. It's more than Exchange, you know. It's more than mail now.
No, but I'm just talking about just you're saying that we're not marketing, but it's the same type of thing. The people who aren't moving off of those versions of Exchange are the people who aren't moving off of the same versions of Notes and Domino for the same reason, because they just work. For them, they just work. And I think it takes a lot – it takes a person within the environment that is going to take the time to understand what each new version is going to give you of whatever product it's going to be.
But you know what comes along with this just popped in my little brain here is that, you know, things like Quikr with Quikr connectors, connections with activities, you're not going to get that stuff if you stick on 6.5 or 7, right?
Correct. But you got it. But there's an outlet. There's a training you're going to need. There is an outlay of expense that unless somebody within that organization, and SMBs, they're really screwed in this environment, this part, because they don't, the person who's a technologist as an SMB is just trying to keep their business up and running. They don't have as much time to go out and learn everything they need to learn. And well, I'm sure
let's do this for a second. We always, you know, bitch about Mike's Lotus marketing or whatever, but let's say you were in Lotus marketing, and let's not think about, you know, plans or what you do, but what are the key reasons you tell your customers that they should upgrade to Notes 8 or Domino 8? What are the reasons you give them to try and justify it to them when they're thinking about it? I mean, right now you should be able to come up with three of them, because if Lotus Marketing was effective, they would have banged three ideas into your head continuously about why you would want to upgrade to Notes 8.
The thing for me have been mail interface, I think, in 8 is so much better than it has been in previous versions. I think that the same time integration in 8 is so much better. You've got the integrated client that is far and away the best that's out there for a corporate internet client. And then you're going to get bang for your buck in what you can do on the server.
But Carl's point is well taken, that yeah, there needs to be a story to tell right when we go in front of our customers. And right now it's, we all have, oh yeah, mail's prettier. Oh yeah, it's had same time integration, but we've had same time integration for a while now, right? Since the 7X client days. So
5.1.
Yeah, Jess, anything you want to?
Well, we've had it, and you know, we see the demos in Lotusphere and everything. But I think one of the biggest arguments that everybody has about marketing is that nobody else ever gets to see that ever. You know, all the Lotus marketing is all about, and IBM marketing is all about concepts and ideas. Whereas people, they don't have time for that. They need to see it. You know, they need to see how amazing the integrated instant messaging is in the Notes client. You know, and they need to see how pretty the Notes 8 user interface is. And they need to see that Lotus Notes, it's not just an idea, it's an actual physical, tangible product that they can use and not, you know, a concept.
Right.
I think that's a big part of it.
And what would come along with that, too, is, you know, using it as a tool within business outside of email and instant messaging, right? The applications and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've done everything, a lot of places I've been, it's going to take a person within that environment who understands the tool and what it can do to really make it thrive, no matter what that tool is. What was that?
There are certain things that most businesses have that if you have an effective salesperson or systems engineer or whatever that will go in, they'll identify those common needs across these businesses, and they'll always push the things that they think will appeal to those businesses. It's none of you mentioned composite apps, and that's supposed to be one of the key new features of Notes 8. So somebody isn't getting the message across why composite apps are so important and why you want to upgrade to this. Now, maybe that's because, you know, we need a nifty 50 or at least a nifty 10 where some of them are composite apps speaking to each other. They talk about the support desk and showing the bug reports, and a composite app would be perfect showing the bug reports linked to the support desk and things like that in a view or whatever. You know, this is the thing where as Bruce puts it, you know, a story needs to be told. Most effective sales is when you have a story with some kind of identified pain for a customer and making sure that pain is recognized and showing the customer that you have the best solution to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's even for people that know Notes day in, day out, this sort of thing isn't given to them. It's sort of thing that should be fed to them so that they can go tell their fellow employees the same story. Here's why we should do this, because it's got all these great benefits versus, you know, hey, I've got instant messaging. Well, what's the benefit of instant messaging? You know, hey, I've got composite apps. Well, what's the benefit of composite apps? People need to be told why they should be using something.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is very typical of IBM. They're great engineers, right? And Notes 8, you know, is a true, you know, engineering product, and now it's time, you know, Microsoft's on the totally other end of it. Yeah, their engineering isn't that great, but they create that story, they create those reasons, and then the pretty eye candy to sell, and win over the CXO and end users. So, you know, we can beat this to death, and maybe we can get on some other people to talk about this. Well, so.
Well, I know for me, when I give an app to a client, one of the things that I love to do is, you know, throw in bells and whistles, and there's a lot of things that you can do in Lotus Notes that people that have been using Lotus Notes for years never knew it can do. You know, I mean, things with agents and workflow that you can put in. You know, I love it when people say, wow, it can do that, you know, and you did it so quickly and so easily, you know. I mean, it's great for that. So a lot of times too, even us as developers can show people what it can do because they have no idea otherwise, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than to have somebody say, Notes can't do X, Y, Z, and to sit down in front of them in 30 seconds, do it.
Yeah. I love hearing
but
that.
But that becomes a problem too, because imagine if you just said, if you were, I don't know, can't think of a product now, but if everything you asked a person, oh yeah, I could do that too. Oh yeah, I could do that too. It, you know, it.
What it's, does, but what but does, that's the Achilles heel has always been with Notes. Notes is a product that does everything good. Doesn't do everything great. Doesn't do one thing phenomenal. It does everything good. I mean, you can use it as document management, but there are probably better all-star document management programs out there that do nothing but that.
I'm not sure you'd want to use Domino as an airline reservation systems database.
Yes, but you could. You wouldn't want to,
exactly.
Well, you could for an airline that took a few passengers, but yeah.
Put DB2 on the back end, you could do it.
Even DB2 struggles with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, we've gone quite a while here for episode one, and we probably touched on a lot of nerves. You know, we're not anti-Lotus. We're not anti-Notes. We just we like to talk about these things and in a forum where we're open and honest, and we're not afraid sometimes to speak how we feel, and
none of us will get invited to Lotus Fair, though.
Yeah, no, yeah, and you know, we all make our livings in one way or another off this technology, but you know,
we just want to see it better.
Exactly.
Basically, we'll never be satisfied. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that would be a good question. How would you be satisfied with the next version of Lotus Notes? What would it be? But that's the problem. It's so many things to so many people that you'll never satisfy anybody. And now, you know,
good for IBMers too, because it keeps them employed.
Yeah, but I've heard rumblings that they're focusing on what their top customers really want to see in the product. But that's okay. That's their prerogative. But
that's probably how it's always been.
Yeah, but that doesn't help the SMBs and the, you know, the very small businesses out. But you know, Jess can find another job. All right.
As if I didn't have enough of no life already.
Yeah, right. All right.
And congratulations to Jess's daughter who just had her first birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did. Yes.
Yeah. Will she be at Lotusphere this year again, Jess?
She wouldn't miss it for the world. Yep.
She's speaking this year.
She'll probably be at every Lotus. Yeah, she's submitting a couple of abstracts.
Uh-huh. She only drank a couple beers last year.
Yeah, just a couple. Sucky. And the year before that, very few.
Yeah. And is she going to do karaoke with White Chocolate? And what's your name?
Oh, I don't have a name, but Zoe is White Chocolate Truffle.
Oh, White Chocolate Truffle. All right. On that note, we're gonna wrap up episode one of the 1352 report. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you'll turn in. Well, we hope you'll turn in, but we hope you'll tune in for episode two, which we hope to do next week. So,
okay, screwed up the end. We have to do it again.
No, I'm not doing it again.
We have to record the whole thing again.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't hit the record button. All right, that's it. Sean, you behave because you're on vacation.
Oh, please.
And Jess, go say hi to Zoe. And Carl, I don't know.
I'm doing CU slides.
All right, Collaboration University. Where's it going to be, Carl?
Chicago and London.
All right, when?
Next week and the week after, I think.
All right. So sign up collaborationuniversity.com. Shameless plug, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.